First, let me say, for I have determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yes, yes.
And the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, and we ask that you be thou within to strengthen us. We ask that thou be above to watch over us. Be thou beneath to uphold us. Be thou before to direct us. Be thou behind to protect us. Be thou all around to defend us. And we thank you, God, for our pastor on this 14th year of ministry. On this 14th year that you've blessed him, that he may be a blessing to your people. And we thank you, Lord, for this 14th year that you allow him to be the under shepherd of your flock. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray, God, that your word go forth and that lives be changed and souls be saved. God, we thank you. And we praise you. And we magnify you. And we lift you up. And we give you the glory and the praise and the honor and the majesty. Hallelujah. For you and you alone. For you and you alone is worthy. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 12. I will read aloud and you follow me silently. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. But what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Humility versus selfishness. Humility is accepting we're not always right. We're not better than anyone else. We can help others without expecting anything in return.
Amen.
That's humility.
All right.
Selfishness is thinking only of self. Desiring all of the praise for self. Incapable of admitting you're wrong. Selfishness. Let's look at this church in Philippi, which was founded by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. Let's see if humility and selfishness existed among the early Christians. Now, a breakdown of Paul's letter to the Philippians church. Chapter 1, Paul's account of his present circumstances. Paul's account of his present circumstances. Chapter 2, Paul's appeal to have the mind of Christ. Paul's appeal to have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3, Paul's appeal to have the knowledge of Christ. Paul's appeal to have the knowledge of Christ. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, Paul's appeal to have the peace of Christ.
All right.
Paul's appeal to have the peace of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now let us begin in this first chapter, verses 12 and 13. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to the advance the gospel. So that it has become unknown throughout the whole imperial guard to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ.
Uh-huh.
Point number one. A negative to us is a positive for God.
All right.
The gospel did not spread in spite of the fact Paul was in jail.
Oh, Jesus.
The fact that Paul was in jail helped the gospel to spread. God can use whatever the devil throws at him and his people and turn that thing around. Ain't God good? God used the negative, made it a positive. God is able to use the negative things in our lives. We don't have to worry about what we're going through because God is allowing us to go through what we're going through for a reason. Now look at it. The very folk holding Paul captive, the arresting officers, the prosecutor, the jury, the jailers, all know that this was from God. And this was a man of God doing the things of God. God will not only let your friends know and your church members know and your family know, but God would allow your enemies to know. So let us not worry about what's happening. It's still for God's glory. And when we don't even understand, even that is still for God's glory. Because God is in control. God is in control.
Yes.
Now let's look at verse number 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Amen.
Point number two. There comes a time we must stop being the student and become the teacher.
All right.
What'd you say?
There comes a time we must stop being the student and become the teacher.
Amen.
Regardless what happens to our leaders, we have to step up to the plate. After Paul went to jail, they began preaching the Lord with boldness. But don't miss this. They became confident in the Lord. The CEV version says, the Lord's followers. They were not Paul's followers.
All right.
Paul planted the church.
Yes,
he preached the first sermon. He was their pastor. He was their under shepherd. They were not followers of Paul. They were followers of the Lord. And I believe the reason God allows leaders to have jailhouse experiences so the people will stop following them. Yeah, it's too many situations, too many times that we are following preachers, we're following the pastors, we're following leaders, and we're not following the Lord. You see, when we're following the Lord, the preacher, the pastor falls, we're going to be okay. And how are we going to be okay? We're going to step up to the plate and we begin to preach the word.
All right.
Stop making preachers and pastors and bishops and presidential candidates and presidents God. We must put our trust in God, not in man, because man will let you down every time. I'm quite sure everybody in this place has let somebody down or have been let down by somebody. Because every time, man will let you down. But if you put your trust in the Lord, even if the leader falls, we can still preach and witness with boldness. Even if we're leaderless, we're able to become leaders. Let us look at verse number 15 through 17. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaiming Christ out of a selfish ambition, not sincere, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Point number three. What is the motive behind what we do? Why do we do what we do? What are we attempting to gain from our actions? These passages of scripture are a perfect example of one group doing the right thing for the wrong reason, and another group doing the right things for the right reasons. Humility and selfishness. Both groups are preaching the gospel. One group in humility, the other group in selfishness. If the messenger is selfish, it's not the hearers of the message that's negatively affected.
What'd you say?
Wow. If the preacher preach the word and the preacher falls, the hearers of the message are not affected negatively. God will not punish the hearer. If the hearer hears the word and responds rightly, they will be blessed. And the hearer is not just the congregants in the pew or the singers in the choir stand or the preachers sitting in the pulpit. The hearer is also the preacher that's preaching the word. How can I expect someone else to hear the word and respond correctly to the word if I'm preaching the word and I don't respond correctly to the word? So when God gave the word to preachers, he didn't give the word to preachers so the preacher could just preach to you. He gave the word to the preacher so the preacher could first preach to himself. The preacher's job is ultimately to lift up the name of Jesus. And not to lift up themselves. But to lift up the name of Jesus. Verse 18. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Point number four. Regardless, Christ is preached. Regardless, Christ is preached. And I know you Bible readers may be saying to yourselves, in Galatians, Paul calls down a curse on bad preaching. Galatians 1, verse number 8, it reads, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So what's the difference? Celebration in Philippians, cursing in Galatians. What is the difference? The difference is this. There is no evidence in Philippians that the selfish preachers were preaching a false message. They preached the true gospel. But the preachers in Galatians were distorting the gospel. In other words, Paul is more agitated when the gospel itself is defective than he is when the people who preach the gospel is defective. Paul is more concerned when you mess the gospel up. Try to make it not the gospel. Than he is just having someone who's messed up preach the gospel. Humility or selfishness? So I had to ask myself the question. I struggle with this. Does it matter? Does it really matter? Yes, it does. It matters to the person who's exhibiting the good or the bad behavior in their relationship with God. If whoever is doing things that are contrary to the word, God is going to deal with them on a personal level.
All right.
And I know that firsthand because I've messed up and God dealt with me. So does it matter? Yes, it does. The good news is this. Regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the motive, as long as the message is true, the gospel will advance. That's good news. Regardless of what folk are doing or have done or thinking of doing, as long as the message is true, the gospel will advance. But one more thing. Just one more thing. As Steve Jobs used to say, even if the messenger is preaching a distorted message, the gospel will still advance. That's better news. Because there's nothing on earth, nothing under the earth, and nothing in heaven will stop God's word from going forward. So it don't matter. It don't matter.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Uh-huh.
What they say.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
What they do.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Uh-huh.
Where they go.
Yeah.
It don't matter what's in the email. It don't matter what happened on the bus.
Yeah.
It don't matter what will happen on November 8th.
Yeah.
Because God is God.
Yeah.
And his word will continue to go forward.
Oh, yeah.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against
it. Say that, say that, say that.
So the news media can make us think that if it happens this way or if it happens that way, we're in trouble. But we need to tell the news media that we're not in trouble because we got God on our side. And God is able to make that thing right. God is able to make us sleep good at night. Hallelujah. God is good. Good all the time. All the time God is good. So whatever they do to you, just know that God is in control. If they fire you, God is in control. If the doctor give you a bad report, God is in control. God bless you and God keep you.